You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Bears Wire and Pro Football Focus, bringing you that Chicago Bears analysis I know you crave. Today, we're breaking down what we learned from the Bears' second preseason game here against the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night. We'll talk about what we saw from the starters on both sides of the ball, even though it was a bit of a limited sample size. And of course, we'll get to some of the backups, the second and third string guys that stood out both for positive and negative performances. And also we'll touch on sort of the most notable snap counts as far as who played a lot and who the team could be looking for a little bit more on, and who are some of the players that didn't get a lot of opportunities that maybe doesn't bode well for their long-term future in Chicago. Of course, we all wanted to see how Mitchell Trubisky and this starting offense would come together. First time, mostly full strength here, taking the field with Matt Nagy calling the shots here. And yes, there was no Taylor Gabriel. He was out of uniform because of injury that he had been dealing with. Allen Robinson had suited up, and the expectation was that he was going to make his Bears debut, but he did not end up playing at all. And, you know, that's probably not that big of a deal. I mean, he's coming off the ACL injury. I don't think the Bears have any reason to push him out there. But they did put Kyle Long out there, and they let him play for a little bit with the starters. And really, as a whole here, the starting offense played a total of 10 snaps. And, you know, with Kyle Long, he played only 7 out of the 10 snaps before they brought in a replacement for him. And with Jordan Howard sidelined and Benny Cunningham also sidelined, you know, Tariq Cohen was the quote-unquote starting running back. He was on the field for the first play, and that was it. They ended up having Michael Burton out there and doing some other stuff with different running backs. But, yeah, Tariq Cohen was on the field for one play and didn't really do much, and that was it for him. So, you know, even then, we're not looking at a full-strength Matt Nagy offense, and 10 snaps is not a lot to go off of here for any kind of big or long-term takeaways. But for Mitchell Trubisky, for example, he went 2 for 4 for 4 yards. You know, whoopee. You know, it was cool that first play of the game, they came out and threw shots deep and fired it down the left sideline towards Kevin White. You're seeing, you know, trying to set the tone and come out aggressive, but you know, the rest of the game, it was a couple short dump-offs. I think one might have been a screen pass on the left side there. And he got sacked once and hit another time as he threw. I mean, you don't really want to see that in the preseason, especially, boy, that sack where it kind of came around his neck a little bit there. That maybe scares you a little bit. But other than that, I mean, there's not really a ton we can take away here from Trubisky specifically. But, you know, some of these other guys, particularly like this offensive line, again, limited sample size, but the one guy that really stood out to me for his poor performance was Bobby Massey at that right tackle spot. There were a few times, even on what ended up being only 7 pass blocking snaps, he was beaten a couple times, and a couple times badly, you know, just absolutely turned around. I know on that first shot deep, it was less than a second or two before his man, I don't remember who was pass rushing against him, but they were already on the way to Trubisky, and he had to just kind of fire it deep and put it up there for Kevin White. And, you know, I guess, what is that, mid-season form already for Bobby Massey? I mean, I think he talked about setting a goal for himself to be a Pro Bowl right tackle this year. Yeah, based on 10 snaps in one preseason game, that doesn't look like it's encouraging in the right direction. And you know, Eric Kush, I thought, made a couple mistakes here and there. But with both guys, try not to harp on it too much. Try not to put too much stock in it, because 10 snaps in one preseason game, no overreaction here. I think we have to take that same mindset with Kevin White, who, you know, got some targets with both with Mitchell Trubisky and Chase Daniel behind him, but, you know, dropped that one big third down pass. Didn't really have much of a shot at that deep one down the sideline, but just not a very strong start from White. And I know, I believe that dropped pass was technically on a play nullified by penalty. That might have been roughing the passer on Mitchell Trubisky, if I remember correctly. But there was a penalty on that play regardless. And so, you know, on the stat sheet, that drop gets nullified. But he did not really do much with his, I believe, 21 routes run in the game. Just, again, not overreacting here, not holding it against him too much. But for Kevin White's debut, for a guy that we were hoping to maybe see more, maybe expectations were just maybe higher than they should have been, but really not getting much from Kevin White in this game. And then, like, you know, Anthony Miller and Trey Burton, they make their debuts. They each catch up one pass, and neither one really went anywhere. I think Miller was that screen that didn't really get anywhere, and Burton was just kind of a quick one over the middle. One catch each, you know, not a lot to go off of there. But for me, the main standout on offense from at least a positive standpoint with, I guess, the quote-unquote starters was Adam Shaheen. And some of that came after the starters left. And if I'm not mistaken, maybe all three of his catches came from the backup quarterbacks, but he was still on the field with the starters. He played 17 snaps as opposed to the 10 that the starters got, but targeted three times, made three catches for 53 yards, but also made some nice plays after the catch. You know, not necessarily making guys miss, but moving around pretty well for a guy his size. You know, not that he was, you know, showing incredible separation on his routes, but just making nice plays. And sometimes when you're a tight end, when the play is there and the ball comes to you, you just have to make the catch and do what you can with it. And that's all you can ask for from a guy that's, you know, 6'7", 270 pounds or whatever it is that Adam Shaheen weighs. And he looked good. He was starting to establish himself a little bit more against what should be inferior competition. And it was just a nice start to see for the big man showing off some of his moves. Now, if you want to be able to move like Adam Shaheen, you got to invest in yourself. And the best way to do that is with some new equipment from our friends at Nordic Track. They have a series of machines now that allow you to stream workouts from both studios and exotic destinations all around the world without even leaving the comfort of your own home. So you can start your day with a workout on the African safari, or, you know, go cross training on the shores of Thailand, or just run through the streets of Paris. I mean, these workouts are led by top personal trainers to help you meet your fitness goals, whether it's on the treadmill, their exercise bikes, incline trainers, strength machines, you name it, Nordic Track has it. And Locked On Bears listeners can get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting their website, nordictrack.com/lockedon. And if you use the offer code Locked On, you get that $75 off. It's NordicTrack, nordictrack.com/lockedon. And the offer code of the same name, Locked On, during checkout, we'll save you $75 off your Nordic Track purchase thanks to Locked On Bears. Today on the podcast, we're breaking down what we saw in Thursday's preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals. We just got done with the offensive starters, so I want to move to the defense now. And again, focus in a little bit more on the starters on this episode, just because we didn't get to see them at all in the Hall of Fame game. And I know we're working off somewhat of a limited sample size here, but I still think there's some things we can take away, especially a little bit more from the defense that I thought had a little bit more going on. The main guys defensively played about 16 snaps. You know, the Akeem Hicks, Leonard Floyd, Kyle Fuller, Eddie Jackson, you know, so a little bit more than we saw on the offense. And of course, the big highlight was Kyle Fuller with that pick six. Certainly the interception gets a little bit easier when the wide receiver falls down. Certainly makes it an easier read for Fuller, a little bit of a tough catch. But what was really impressive, obviously, was that return afterwards, being able to kind of, you know, make a guy miss and outrun a couple offensive linemen and just be able to turn into more of an offensive player and read the tacklers coming at you. Just a nice play and a good positive first step here for Kyle Fuller. You know, no longer in that contract year. He got paid, almost got paid by the Green Bay Packers, but, you know, you want to see him continue the success he had last year and kind of prove that it wasn't an aberration. Again, one big play, not ready to crown him just yet, but a very encouraging start there and definitely worth highlighting. I also like what I saw from Leonard Floyd. And, you know, again, he's a guy that's been battling injury, so I was concerned that he would come in this game and look a little bit, I don't know what the right adjective is, and I don't want to say weak, but just ineffective. You know, I thought he might struggle a little bit, and, you know, he didn't have any game-changing plays, but I thought there were a handful of times when he was able to just get some pressure on the quarterback. You know, nothing crazy here, but just kind of checking the boxes of, okay, if this guy's going to be your number one pass rusher, then you'd like to see him make at least a couple plays in a limited sample size against a bad offensive line. And he did that, and, you know, wasn't, you know, pushed around in the running game too much, or, you know, beaten badly in coverage. I don't believe he dropped back into coverage, but just kind of Leonard Floyd did what Leonard Floyd was supposed to do, despite, you know, still being a little bit slow coming off of offseason knee surgery. Just kind of checked the boxes there. But, you know, one guy who certainly did not check the boxes was Marcus Cooper. And he kind of stands out as the dud of the starting defense. You know, Prince Amukamara was one of the players that sat out of this game. And I never saw formally what his injury was, or what it is that he is dealing with to not play, but Marcus Cooper got the start and was just pretty darn all around bad. He was targeted a team high 6 times, allowed 5 catches for 68 yards. And, you know, as far as this starting group goes, it was really he and John Timu, I believe, that kind of were asked to stay on the field a lot longer than the rest of the starting unit for good reason. You know, not only because they both had some issues, but also they're just two guys fighting for roster spots. And, you know, Timu, he allowed some catches and was beaten a few times in coverage, kind of like we can expect from John Timu at this point in his career. But, you know, give him some credit. He did make some nice plays in the running game. And I think he was in the backfield once or twice and always kind of around near the line of scrimmage. And, you know, as far as wrapping up after he allowed the catches, I think he missed a tackle in the game. But, you know, just because he allowed the guy to catch it, there were many times when he limited the yards after the catch and, you know, made the tackle short of the first down marker. There's, you know, you don't need to completely throw him under the bus yet, although he did get a lot of playing time on the field and just kind of some ups and downs like we've seen throughout his career. Couple other guys that played a little bit extra too, Jonathan Bullard and Roy Robertson-Harris didn't play as much as Timu or Marcus Cooper, but it's clear that Vic Fangio wants to see some more of them, and that they, you know, they're giving them a longer look and really trying to see what they have in their non-Akeem Hicks defensive ends. And, you know, maybe like Floyd, neither one really stood out for a bunch of positive plays. They both impacted the quarterback a few times, but, you know, we're working on a dozen-ish pass rushes to, you know, it's a pretty limited sample size. I think Roy Robertson-Harris got flagged at one point, and I can't remember off the top of my head what it was. And so, you know, you want to see fewer mistakes in that sense, but they were both able to make a couple plays. I think Bullard flashed a little more as a pass rusher. Robertson-Harris was a little bit more involved in the running game, if I remember correctly. Nothing to be concerned about, but nothing to be overly excited about there. Only, you know, the main note being that the Bears are taking a little bit of a longer look from them. You know, as a whole, it did feel like the starting defense struggled to just stop the Bengals offense. But, you know, you're looking at a very vanilla scheme defensively. Not a ton of blitzing. I think we saw it a couple times on, like, third downs, but I'm not particularly overly concerned about this group looking bad. I mean, you know, I think you can attribute a fair amount of that to Marcus Cooper giving up some big catches and John Timu being a little bit vulnerable in coverage, but you had guys individually play fairly well and, you know, a couple guys individually that struggled, but, you know, sometimes the mistakes of one or a few can kind of make the whole defense look bad. And yeah, you would want to see the starters get more pressure on the quarterback and make more plays there. But, you know, sounding like a broken record, you come back to limited sample size, few opportunities, vanilla defense, not a lot of scheme, not a lot of coverage diversity, not a lot of mixing up of the safeties and you know, disguising much there, and then limited by not even having your either of your potential regular season starting inside linebackers with Danny Trevathan out and Roquan Smith holding out, and then, you know, Aaron Lynch sidelines, you don't have a full-strength pass rush, and no Prince Amukamara as well. You know, there's reason to expect some struggles from a non-full strength starting defense, even though it was the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, we've talked plenty about the starters, so coming up next, we'll wrap up with a look at some of the key backups that stood out, both in the positive and negative light. A couple of names that maybe you don't hear that much in it, and maybe the more average and casual Bears fan will be like, who? And you'll have to Google the name. A couple of those type guys really stood out to me. Well, a couple of guys that had stood out in previous games had some struggles in this one. That's all coming up next on Locked On Bears. We're talking Bears-Bengals today on Locked On Bears. And it's time to get to some of the under-the-radar backups that, you know, don't get the love of the starters. And some of these guys, if not most of these guys, might not make the 53-man roster. But this is when those battles are won and lost. And one guy that really impressed me and kind of came out of nowhere is Will Preczek. And this is the guy, the offensive lineman, whose name is spelled P-E-R-I-C-E-K. And so in preparation for this podcast, I looked up how to actually pronounce it, because I've said Parasek or Parachek in the past. It's pronounced Preczek. Will Preczek started out at right guard and ended up playing some center in this game as well, and just kind of asked to play quite a bit and impressed me, really, you know, holding up in pass protection, not really allowing much through, but particularly in the running game. He was moving some guys off the line of scrimmage. I know it's backup defensive tackles and stuff from the Cincinnati Bengals, but, you know, for a guy that has bounced around the league here and is certainly atop that list of who, when you talk about Chicago Bears players, he did a lot to make a little bit more of a name for himself and, you know, push at least somewhat and raise himself up above, or at least above some of the bottom of the roster interior offensive linemen. Certainly not anywhere close to earning a 53-man roster spot yet, but some encouraging steps forward from Preczek. And then sort of his defensive equivalent in this game, Kasim Edebali, the outside linebacker. He was a little bit of a late addition before training camp, I believe. I think it was right around OTAs he had tried out with the team. He's had a little bit of NFL experience with the Saints and Broncos, I believe, and he was in this game getting after the quarterback. I don't believe he had a sack, but he was getting pressure, and he was giving the opposing offensive tackles some real trouble in this game, and then in run defense as well, doing a lot of the dirty work, you know, penetrating and forcing the running back to redirect. In a lot of those plays, when you saw a linebacker or whoever make the tackle for a loss, it was Kasim Edebali beating his guy to the inside and kind of forcing the ball carrier into the arms of one of his teammates. It's the stuff that doesn't show up a ton on the stat sheet, but when you're looking at those trenches, it just seemed like Edebali was constantly getting into the backfield, whether it be against the quarterback or the running back. Even when he doesn't get his hands on the ball carrier, he's still making an impact, he's still producing, and that kind of dirty work doesn't fly under the radar when they're watching the tape next week in the coach's room. Preczek and Edebali were definitely the two top standouts, but, you know, I thought Rashad Coward had a pretty nice game, you know, not really giving up much in pass protection once again. I mean, still, it's a lower bar for, you know, a guy who's still learning the position. So, you know, not ready to put him on the 53-man roster just yet either. But, you know, key point with his game, if you follow Lawrence Holmes on Twitter, he was very astute to point this out, that Coward, based on his stance and him physically leaning, was tipping whether the plays were going to be runs or passes. That when he was going to be moving backwards into pass protection, you see him kind of like lean, not enough to cause a false start, but just enough that you kind of notice the movement, that he's getting ready to move backwards. And then on running plays, he's kind of leaning a little bit more forward and just slowly moving a little bit more forward. And it would indicate to you that he's anticipating getting off the snap to block the guy in front of him. And, you know, I don't know if the Bengals were able to pick up on it in a game, but that's something he obviously needs to improve, and maybe it's a little bit more understandable given his transition, but when it comes to real live NFL action, that's certainly a major flaw that needs to be cleaned up. Still a nice game from him, but a work in progress nonetheless. In the secondary, it seemed to me like Deron Grant and DeAndre Houston Carson both were standing out pretty well in coverage, not really allowing much room for passes to be thrown in there. I think they were both targeted a few times, but really didn't allow much from a catch standpoint. I don't believe that Grant allowed any catches, and Houston Carson allowed one for 3 yards, really not giving the quarterbacks much to work with. I think Grant got his hands on a pass too and broke it up, but couldn't quite bring down the interception. You know, I think DeAndre Hall caught a little bit more of the spotlight for a few tackles that he made, but I thought he gave up some in coverage. And, you know, not that he had a terrible game, but just, you know, it was nice to see him be physical, but you want to see a little bit better coverage on the back end. Not that it was terrible, but just, you know, he was out there quite a bit and maybe allowed a little bit more room for some guys than you'd like to from that safety spot, you know, not giving his cornerback as much help. That a couple times maybe the cornerback was looking for the safety to be a step or two closer, and then Hall was a little bit late getting there. You know, just kind of stuff like that, that not quite exactly what you want from the safety. And especially when you had some younger cornerbacks getting involved there, like John Franklin III, he really didn't have a strong debut, and another guy adjusting to a new position, so you don't want to hold it against him too strongly, but just not a good look for him. And Kylie Fitz, one last guy who really struggled, in my opinion, particularly in the running game, not holding up well against stronger blockers. And maybe it's hard to tell in the live TV version how much of it is, you know, his hand placement versus leverage and balance. Looking forward to kind of going back through to see exactly what's been going wrong with Kylie Fitz, but not really getting much as a pass rusher either in this game. And disappointing with Isaiah Irving not playing, that Kylie Fitz was in position to step up some more. And seems like Kasim Edibali was the guy who took full advantage of that situation against the Bengals. And then the final note from the game, like last week, just a couple of notable snap counts. John Timu played the most of anyone on defense, followed by DeAndre Hall and DeAndre Houston Carson, all playing quite a bit. You know, from the opposite side of the spectrum, Kevin Tolliver, the second, I think, had the fewest snaps of any defensive player that played. Kevon Walker, Abdullah Anderson, and Andrew Trumbetti, and even throw Elijah Norris and Nick Orr in there too. I mean, all those kind of undrafted free agent guys really didn't get a lot of play, and that should be a pretty strong indication for most of them, except for Tolliver, I'm willing to put an asterisk on, but with Orr, Norris, Trumbetti, Anderson, and Walker not getting a lot of opportunity in this preseason game would indicate that they're pretty far behind, you know, the Nick Williamses, of course, Bilal Nichols and John Jenkins and those kind of guys that the Bears didn't have a particular interest in seeing a lot from them. Tolliver had been injured and had been an early standout from Bears training camp, so I'm willing to kind of throw an asterisk there and wonder if there's more to that story as to why he didn't play, but the other guys, not very encouraging for their long-term prospects in Chicago. On offense, Rashad Coward and Will Precheck played the most snaps of any players, and then behind them, Bradley Soule and James Daniels also played quite a bit. Seemed like, you know, they kind of know what offensive linemen they want to see on the field, and the skill players, they kind of rotate out as little as they do and get a little bit of snaps for everybody, but they're not particularly interested in longer looks than anyone. I think Gentry and DeMarcus Ayers played the most of the receivers, and, you know, Nall and Mizell, and I think Daniel Brown played a fair amount too. I mean, those guys get some action, but it's clear that they're taking some longer looks at these young offensive linemen. And I'm really curious to go back and watch James Daniels more closely. He was the guy we talked about on the preview podcast that I was going to keep an eye on, and he seemed to hold up all right, but, you know, it's hard to get a little bit more of the offensive line nuance. I want to see, you know, how his hands and feet are a little bit more. And when you're watching this game live, you just can't pick up on all that stuff. You can only get so much, and didn't really see him get beat much. You know, when there was pressure, didn't seem to be coming from his area of the offensive line. And, you know, in the running game, wasn't blowing people out of the water, but he wasn't consistently, you know, part of the problem when Mizell couldn't get much going. And really, Nall, outside of that big, what was it, 69-yard run, he didn't get a ton going either. Just more of a collective lack of push from the offensive line than, you know, anyone individually getting beat consistently. And Daniels not really dominating, which maybe you would want to see from a second round pick against backups, but I'm going to reserve judgment particularly on him until I can go back and look a little bit more closely on how he held up. You can expect to hear more about all these guys next week on Locked On Bears. Hope you'll subscribe to the podcast and keep coming back for more Chicago Bears analysis. That's what I love doing on this podcast. I hope you enjoy listening to it too, and I hope you'll continue to keep up with us on Twitter, Facebook, you name it. Plenty of ways you can connect with Locked On Bears. Hope you'll use any of those fashions to really do keep it locked here on the podcast. And we'll be back for more preseason analysis with next week's games, and we'll keep you up to date on the Roquan Smith storyline if anything changes there, but so far not much to expect there. So, you know, we'll kind of play it by ear and hit up everything new and noteworthy with the Chicago Bears all week until their next preseason game. I hope, in the meantime, you bear down.